Welcome to Beyond Standards, your source for authentic discussions about the world of teaching. Get ready to explore challenges, share inspiring stories, and discover strategies that will empower you to make a lasting impact on your students. Here are your hosts, who are trying to master the fine art of maintaining their sanity while managing a classroom, Joe Rohrhoff and Jeff Bologna.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 22 of the Beyond Standards podcast, where we cut through the BS and talk about the reality of what it's like to be a teacher. I'm your host, Joe, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and my fellow middle school teacher, Jeff. Jeff, last week you got us started with a rant about parent-teacher conferences. I'm hoping you have something a little more positive and uplifting today. What's up?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for bringing that one up. You know, it's funny. I had a coworker who was listening, and she texted and she was like, wow, you went off on parent-teacher conferences. No, but today I'm going to keep it light. I was just reflecting on last week's episode. I was listening to it in the car today, and, you know, Peyton and Ella and the two teachers that they shouted out. And it was just probably my most enjoyable episode of these, you know, 20 plus episodes that we've done, Joe. You know, we've done some that, you know, obviously it's very teacher driven and lots of tips and things like that. But I thought as a whole, last week's was my favorite episode that we've recorded. I know we've heard from Mrs. Lawson that, you know, I think her words were ugly crying. Sorry, Jen, if you're listening. I think those are her exact words. And I know you have received some feedback from Peyton's teacher. She's going to take a listen. But just thinking about those two girls and being eighth graders and the way they were able to articulate the impact the teachers are having on them and having on their lives, it was just awesome. And then, you know, obviously the fun we had with the middle school lingo last week was just awesome. So it was, you know, I'm going to keep it positive today.
It was a really good episode. I agree with that. And I love the emotion that went into it, because our goal when we started this was to just highlight some of the awesome things that teachers are doing. Teachers are so underappreciated. We say it over and over, but it's true. Like we always say at the end, you might not make a lot of money, but the impact that you have is special and it means something. And that really was shown in last week's episode with the teachers that were highlighted. And when, you know, we get that feedback from teachers, how it made them feel maybe on a bad day, then it made me so happy. It made me happy that we do this. That made me happy that we do the podcast.
You know, and it just reminded me of something that I saw on social media. And it was just a quote that said, to every teacher, you know, or something to the effect of, just because you're not posting your lessons on YouTube, or you're not taking crazy videos and posting them on Instagram, you know, you don't have a crazy handshake with every student that you're posting, you are still making a difference. Just saying hi, you are the difference maker in someone's life as a teacher. And it's those little things. And like when Ella even mentioned, you know, it was just, she just walking through the hall, Miss Lawson says hi to me, and those kind of things. I'm like, I try to do that every day with my students, and I know we talked about that. So it was just great. So hopefully, people who listen to that might get some inspiration and things like that.
Yeah, I can't promise this episode is going to be as uplifting as the last one, but I mentioned last week, for all our listeners out there, if they have parents that listen to the podcast, share this one with them. Today, our topic, it kind of speaks for itself. 4 mistakes that parents make that leave their kids unprepared for school. So as teachers, and we're not going to, you know, get on our soapbox and tell you how to parent your kid 24 hours of the day, but we're going to tell you things that we see in the classroom that leave kids unprepared that parents can directly have an impact on. So hopefully this advice is heard by parents out there. I know the teachers out there will relate to these at, you know, at one level or another. Every teacher has experienced these things and had these feelings at some point. But the reality is, we know parents. We get to interact with parents all the time at parent-teacher conferences throughout the year, through email, through phone calls. We know that there are a lot of parents that could use this advice. So with that, you ready to get started? I will go ahead and I will get started with number 4. And this one's pretty simple and it's going to sound pretty obvious, but screen time. Okay, screen time is such a, I guess the mistake that parents make is they allow their kids to have no limits on their screen time. And I'm talking limits in terms of the amount of time that the kids spend on the screen. I'm also talking about limits on the content that kids are watching on their screen or getting involved in social media on the screen. There is way too much of that. And I thought back when we had this as one of our four things to the episode with Brady Couture, and we talked about cell phones just in school and how kids are getting over 100 alerts on their phone in a class period. And that addiction, it starts at home. Like, the addiction starts at home, and parents not keeping an eye on that, not limiting that, is making it very difficult for their kids to concentrate in schools, which makes it difficult for teachers to teach.
Joe, that's a great point, bringing up kind of what Brady said. This year with my sixth graders, the amount of time these kids tell me that they play video games. So screen time is one thing, but I encompass video games with that too, right? I have a couple of students who tell me they'll be up until 10, 11 o'clock at night during the week playing Fortnite or Call of Duty or whatnot. And it's just incredible to me that, and you know, the parents, you know, not knowing if they're up that late because they might have TVs in their bedrooms. I mean, I have a 17-year-old and a 13-year-old, and their phones are plugged in a different room. They're not allowed in their bedroom. They don't have TVs in their room because we're trying to limit the screen time, right? And it is a big issue. It becomes a focus issue. It becomes an attention issue. Now that we have, you know, basically one-to-one in our district, the kids are on their computers all the time playing games. I don't know how many times I have to walk by and push down their computer screens because they're messaging their friends through their MacBooks or playing games and not paying attention to the lesson. So, you know, the screen time issue becomes focus as well.
Yeah. And there's something that popped out into my head. I know we all have those students that we know are addicted to either their phone or being on the computer playing the games. There's a couple students I'm thinking of that they will be on their computer during school, and you tell them, hey, Billy, we don't need computers today, so can you close that? And they will literally close their computer like a quarter of the way. Like, they can't do it. They cannot close their computer screen all the way because it's like, I don't know, it like triggers something in their brain. And it is the same thing psychologically, and you see it at such a young age, and it's sad that kids are addicted to that so young.
Those are the same kids too that are walking through the hall carrying their computers, and they're literally trying to play a game while walking through the busy hallway. You know, this year we tried to limit the screen time because, you know, obviously we can't control what the kids are doing at home, but we tried to control what was going on in our building, and we went, you know, away for the day. But, you know, for some of my assignments, the kids have to take a picture of their assignment and then submit it into online. And those kids, it's like, as soon as they submit it, they cannot physically like look away from their phones. They're playing a game, they're doing something. And it's like, guys, all you needed was to take a picture, upload the picture, and now put your phone away or go put it back in your locker. And it is an addiction. I don't know if it's going to get any better. It's probably going to get worse before it gets better, but I don't know. I don't know how we can curb it, but any parents listening, you need to be in tune on how much time your kids are on those screens, what apps they're on, what games they're playing, Snapchat. You need to talk to those kids about those things.
Yep. I think that's a good way to end that one. Jeff, you want to jump out to number three on our countdown?
Absolutely. Number three on our countdown. When you gave us the list, you know, Joe, you gave me a list of, you know, 15 or so topics. This one stood out to me because of where we are right now. We're coming up to spring break. You know, I've been getting a lot of emails. Oh, my son is going to miss, you know, Thursday and Friday, or going to be out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. So number three on our list was overlooking the importance of attendance and punctuality. And one of the things that stands out to me when I was thinking about this was A, leading into breaks, obviously, but I have so many students who are tardy, late, or don't attend first hour on a regular basis that it is impossible for them to stay up on their work. Joe, I don't know if you see that issue in your first hour, but it is mind-boggling to me.
Absolutely, I see it in first hour in particular. And it is the same students repeatedly over and over. And it's no surprise, you don't need a study to tell you that not being in class is going to hinder your performance in that class. And I know you brought up the vacation thing, and I understand part of it's a jealousy thing. We are teachers, and exactly. It sucks because we cannot hey, I'm going to leave for spring break 2 days early. Teachers can't do that for the most part. Teachers cannot do that. And I get it. You know, kids can. Parents can pull it out early. The flights are cheaper. I understand that. If you're doing that because that's what's best for your family, just put the responsibility on the student to make sure to check in before, check in after, make up the work. Because how many kids do we get as teachers coming back after spring break that we had no idea these kids were going to be gone? And we have 14 students that missed the last 2 or 3 days before break. And, you know, missing assignments, all that stuff falls through the cracks because there's so many of them. We just can't keep up with it.
You know, and that also brings up another good point, too. You know, it's the same kids. And then I'll see them in the hall between, you know, first and second hour, second and third hour. And I'll be like, oh, hey, good to see you, Johnny. Oh, yeah, I couldn't get up, or I slept through my alarm, or this or that. And a lot of that is, you know, these kids, we teach middle school. These kids are still, some of them are still babies. Like, come on, parents, wake your kid up, right? Like, if he sleeps through an alarm, wake him up, get him on the bus, take him to school. They've got to be there. You know, I was thinking about this, Joe, as we were prepping, and, you know, we take that trip to the high school every year, and the principal of our high school always gives the same speech to the eighth graders that are, you know, the keys to being successful when they're mm-hmm. in high school. And one of those keys is, you need to attend, both physically be in the building and mentally, you need to be mentally attending class. And it's like, yeah, like you cannot be successful in school if you don't attend. And we were talking about this at lunch yesterday. We have students who, you know, our math teachers were given a test yesterday, and oh, lo and behold, there's like these four students, they miss every single time there's a test. And it's like, parents, like, get a clue, check Schoology and check Google Classroom or whatever. And you notice a trend? Oh, you had a test today and you were out again. Like, pretty sure Johnny doesn't have a fever or a stomach ache every time there's a test. Like, come on, parents.
I could summarize the last two, the screen time and this, because they're definitely related. The screen time and attendance are definitely related, with a message to parents of, don't be afraid to be the bad guy. You are their parent. You're not their friend. I could tell stories of times it happens, particularly we take a field trip to Washington, D.C., and we have a lot of parents go. It's about a 4-to-1 ratio, 4 kids per parent. And we have parents coming to us as teachers asking us to discipline their kid. And there's so many parents that are afraid to, like, keep their kids in line, and they want somebody else to do it because they don't want to be the bad guy. I'm telling you, if you want to do what's best for your kid in the long run, then tell them to put the cell phone away. Make them go to school when, oh, I have a test and I didn't study. Have them learn the consequences of those actions. And although it might be tough at first, you're going to look like the bad guy at first. In the long run, you're doing what's best for your kid by holding them accountable.
And we're going to get to that with another one, obviously. Yeah. And then just one more thing on attendance. And this is a message to parents, suggestions. If your child is missing 3, 4, 5 school days, have them reach out to us, please. For instance, I have a student now. I just looked at his attendance. He missed Thursday, Friday of last week. He missed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this week. I was talking with my neighbor, and she's like, I haven't heard anything. Have you heard anything? And she emailed the parents, got no response. And it's like, we don't know if he's on vacation. We don't know if he's left the country. We don't know what's going on. Have the kids reach out, because now this student is going to be, I doubt if he'll come back Thursday or Friday. Friday's kind of a fun day right before spring break. So now we're going to be a week and a half behind going on spring break. No chance he's going to remember the comma units and the comma lessons that we did, a week ago. Now it'll be 2 weeks prior. So, you know, along with attendance, making sure that they're checking in with the teachers, staying up to date, things like that. Keep the teachers abreast. We'd like to know what's going on. You know, I don't know how many times I've emailed our counselors. Hey, have you heard about so-and-so? He's missed school for 5 straight days.
Right.
You know, we'd like to know too. We care, right? If something's really wrong, we would like to know as well. So yeah, that's my last words on attendance. It is important to be in class on time, and make sure you're showing up.
Right. Let's jump to number 2 for the mistakes that parents make that leave their kids unprepared for school. And that is, parents make the mistake of overemphasizing grades or academic achievement over personal growth and development. We teach in a very competitive district, very in terms of test scores. Everybody wants to get into the University of Michigan or an Ivy League school, and they want to do everything they can to improve their resume. And the pressure that's put on these kids for that is unnecessary and absolutely ridiculous. They focus so much on how important it is to get good grades, and they don't focus on how important it is to be a good person. And, you know, that happens over and over again at parent-teacher conferences. Parents ask, hey, what grade are they getting in the class? How does this compare to the other students in the class? Instead of, hey, how do they interact with their peers? Are they kind to their peers? Are they respectful to teachers? I wish we got more of those questions as opposed to the questions about simply grades.
And, you know, Joe, we're coming from the middle school lens, right? Note to anybody listening, other than maybe algebra or Spanish 1 in the middle school, it doesn't matter. It's okay to not do well and maybe just focus on their mental health and focus on their interactions and becoming a good member of society, because what you do in eighth grade language arts or eighth grade science or eighth grade social studies does not carry over to the high school level. But, you know, off that, you know, I agree with you 100%. We just had conferences last week. As you know, I ranted about that and on the episode. And me being a language arts teacher, I have to make recommendations for honors or regular English at the high school. And what do you think the number one question is usually? And it's about those recommendations and all that other stuff. And, you know, kids who come to me and say, you know, I don't really love English class and I don't want to take honors. And then you talk to a parent, you're like, well, we think he should, it'll look good on his transcript. Well, come on, mom and dad, like he's going to be playing basketball or he's going to be playing football or doing marching band. Like, how about we let them become students at the high school level, figure out, you know, the high school before we worry about these honors classes. Or, you know, the girl who's got a 98% in my class and the mom says, what else could she be working on at home? And I'm like, nothing. Like, are you kidding? She's doing great. Like, how about, you know, you focus on her. She's on POM. Like, that's great. Let her focus a little bit on that. You know, and we do have some parents that'll sit down and say, oh yeah, so-and-so is a little bit different than their brother or their sister. It was like, well, no kidding. They're different than their brother and their sister. They're different people. And I, Joe, I know, right. You've had that experience numerous times.
Absolutely. And I had in my notes, one of the things that you said, that middle school grades don't matter. And I will flat out tell that to students. I will flat out tell that to parents. Nobody is ever going, no college is going to come back and look to see what you got in your eighth grade American history class. And well, they say, well, grades do matter. Obviously, they do. But I tell kids, don't focus on your grades. And I tell this to parents too. Don't focus on your grades. Focus on the process. And it reminds me, there's a book that I read. It's by Bill Walsh, Hall of Fame coach, Coach Jerry Rice, Joe Montana, 49ers. And the title of the book is The Score Takes Care of Itself. And basically, the whole message they're trying to give is focus on the process. Focus on your habits. Focus on your study habits. Focus on making sure you have all your work turned in. And then everything else will take care of itself. Okay, the score will take care of itself, or the grades will come. The grades that you deserve or you earn will come by obtaining those good habits and getting your stuff turned in, getting your work turned in. And so instead of just being solely focused on the outcome of grades, focus on a more holistic approach, how they are as a person and who they are as a person and what they enjoy, and have them pursue those interests.
Joy, I want to bring up two things, you know, and one is that what you talked about with, as you say, Bill Walsh.
Yeah.
It's a quote that I always say to my oldest son is, water will find its level, right? Like, mm-hmm. Water always finds its level. And, you know, right now he's struggling through a class, but I'm like, don't worry, water will find its level and you'll be okay. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to, you know, focus, you know, on not be solely focused on that grade sometimes. And like, let's see if we can learn the material and we're figuring out our study habits and things like that. And then I just wanted to touch on one more thing. You had mentioned it earlier. You said that, you know, at conferences, you know, you would prefer parents to ask, you know, how are they in class? How's their behavior? How's their interactions? And I got a great email from a dad. His daughter's a great kid. You know, she does really well. And he even in his email, he said, you know, I couldn't make parent-teacher conferences. I apologize. I know she's doing well academically. That's not what I'm worried about. I'm just worried about how her behavior is and how she is in class. Is she respectful? Does she behave? Does she have friends and things like that? And I was like, oh, it was so refreshing to read the email because, yeah. You know, when it came through, I'm like, are you kidding me? Another one. Your daughter's getting an A. What else do you want? But that's not what he was worried about. And lo and behold, the girl she's a pleasure to have in class. And, you know, she's always smiling and always in a good mood. But it was nice to see. He's like, I know how she's doing academically. Like, I see the grades. I know what she's doing. How is she as a person? Is she polite? Is she respectful? Does she respond to you? Things like that. And that was, you know, sometimes as teachers, I would, you know, like you said, that would be a better conference than how are they doing grade wise. So,
yeah. How can they go from a 94 to a 98%? Why is their grade so low? Yeah.
In middle school, social studies.
So many more important things to focus on.
Before we move on, one last thing, and you know it, we all have those students. Is this going to be graded? How many points is this? Do you offer extra credit? And I think you and I are thinking of the same student, and it's like, oh my goodness, I know exactly where this is coming from. It's coming from parents emphasize on grades and not anything else.
Agree with that. And I know exactly who you're talking about.
It's like, don't worry about if it's graded. Just do the best you can each time.
I feel like one of these times we're going to slip on a name and I'll have to get the bleep button out and have to bleep the name out.
No, I'm good about that. I use Johnny. So if I ever have a Johnny, I'm in trouble. I have to come up with a new name. All right. Are you ready for number one?
I am ready for number one.
All right. Number one thing, and we are seeing this more and more as the years move on and the farther we go. I don't know if it's post-COVID, if it's post-pandemic, but it's all this. It's about accountability. We do not have parents. We need you guys to teach your kids to be accountable for themselves and accountable for their actions. First and foremost, let the students talk to the teacher if they're absent or if there are other issues. Follow up if necessary, but they need to learn to interact and talk to adults. And Joe, I had this conversation with my seventh grader yesterday. He didn't do well on a ELA thing. And I said, what happened? And he said, I don't want to talk to my teacher because I don't want to be the only kid talking to my teacher. And my wife and I looked at each other and we're like, damn it, get up there and ask her a question. I'm not emailing her. We're not emailing her. If you don't understand something, you need to walk up to her desk and say, excuse me, I don't understand what this question is asking. I'm not going to bail you out. If you have a zero, you have to take care of it. But I'm coming from a teacher, right? So, you know, I'm like, hey, buddy, you're missing assignment. Oh, should I email the teacher? Yeah, you should. I'm not. Parents listening, don't email the teacher. If you see a zero in the grade book, don't email the teacher. Hey, why does my kid have a zero? Why do you think they have a zero? Have the kid email you and say, hey, I noticed I have a zero. Can I still turn it in? Can I still get credit?
And parents, if you want to be kept in the loop on that, have your parent or have your student CC you on the email. So they're emailing the teacher and they're emailing you. That way, you know what's going on. You're in the loop. You know what's going on. But your kid is accountable for what happened. And Jeff, you brought up your son having to go and talk to his teacher. And I think it's a skill that most kids today really struggle with is talking to adults. My own children struggle with that. I had a student in class just the other day, good student that made a mistake and she got into some trouble. She did something she shouldn't have done. And this is a student that never gets into trouble. You know, the next day when I talked to her, I let her know that I was upset with her and that I would talk to her later in class. And she was very stressed out about this. This was a student, like I said, that doesn't get in trouble. And I had a conversation with her and she could not look me in the eye. She could barely speak. I had to coach her through how to get, not yelled at, but how to get instructed by a teacher that was frustrated with her. I'm like, this is where you say you're sorry. This is where you look at me. And this is where you say, I won't do it again. A skill like that, being able to talk to your teacher, whether it's making amends for a mistake you made or asking a question about an assignment, that is a skill this leads back to the last point, so much more important than their grades. Having the ability to do that is so important.
And you know, sometimes we'll get emails from students, and I can read through it. I'm like, oh, this kid's mom or dad told them they need to email me. You know, you'll get one. It's like, hey, I didn't do well on today's test. Is there any extra credit or is there any chance for me to redo it? And in my head, I'm like, oh, God, mom or dad saw the grade and told them you need to email the teacher. But you know what? Hey, at least they did it. Like, thank you, mom and dad, for telling the kids you have to do this. But I mean, we can read through that kind of stuff. You know, and another thing with accountability, let your child or let your student make their own choices, classes, sports they want to do, clubs they want to do, things like that. You know, my 7th grader going to be an 8th grader, and they were just selecting classes at his middle school. And, you know, we wanted him to take Spanish 1. He's also been in band, and we wanted him to do band, but he's like, I don't want to do band in 8th grade. I want to take gym and art and stuff like that. I'm like, fine. That's fine. That's your prerogative. You know, we were hoping he would take Spanish 1, and he's like, no, I actually think I want to do the yearbook and take pictures and write for the yearbook. And we were like, hey, if that, you know, and that's the class he wanted to take. We told him, we're like, you're going to have to take Spanish 1 at high school. He's like, I know. He's like, I'll take it when I'm a freshman. The class got full and he didn't get in because they had to randomly pull. They had 75 students for a class of 30 and his name did not get picked. So he ended up in Spanish 1 anyways. And he was happy. He was okay with that. But that was his choice. You know, I didn't want him to be resentful of me and be like, I hate this class and you made me take it. So no, I mean, let them make their own decisions. And here's another thing. And if it's a class that they're struggling with and they made the decision, let them struggle. Right. Yep. Let them struggle. Right. Let them struggle.
Let them fail. They'll be okay.
And then they'll know. Right. If they try out for a sports team and they make it, but they don't get a lot of playing time, let them deal with that. Don't let them quit. They make a commitment. Let them make that commitment. Right. So let them make their own decisions.
Yeah. You made a story popped into my head as you were saying that. We did a little activity today in my seminar class. We were doing some social emotional stuff and I had the kids circled up and I asked everybody to share something unique about someone else in the circle, not about themselves, but about someone else. And one person shared about another student. Yeah, the student plays the violin. And the student was like, I hate playing the violin. I have to play the violin every day. And I've just felt for that kid that he is forced to play the violin every day for hours and he's not enjoying it. And we all know there's only 24 hours in a day, and there's probably some things that he's more passionate about that he cares about that he could be doing that make him happier. And let the kids make their decisions, and they might make some wrong ones, and they will have to learn to live with those, and they will have to learn to grow from those.
Yeah, that's a great story. But that is something unique, right? Like the other students look at that and like, that is so unique. That's so cool. I had a 6th grader who told me his thing was, he plays the guitar, and I was like, wow, that's awesome, you know?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in your room, the kid doesn't want to play that, you know?
Yes.
You know, and I think as they get older, obviously this gets easier, I would hope. You know, I've been out of the high school for 12 years. Joe, you've been out of there for 11. So it's hard to see, you know, with juniors and seniors in high school, hopefully they're more accountable. With our middle school students, though, let them fail. It's okay. It is okay to let them fail. Right.
It's the perfect time in life to fail.
Yeah. And I always tell parents that middle school life, it's like practice for a game. High school is the game, right? If you're going to make a mistake, if you're going to miss a basket or miss an assignment, do it in practice, mm-hmm. right? If you're going to screw up, do it in the practice before you go to the high school where you're then, you know, then grades are really going to matter and you're going to want to do your best. So, but yeah, keep them accountable. Keep them accountable for their actions. You know, we're having a rash of kids getting in trouble in our school for, you know, videotaping things that are inappropriate and things like that. It's like, parents, if your kid gets in trouble for that, take that dang phone away from them. Limit the screen time. There we go. That goes back to our other one, right?
Full circle.
So we just come full circle. It's like, hold them accountable. Punish them. Don't bring them Starbucks because they want a Starbucks. You know, don't do those kind of things. Make them stay in school.
Don't get me started on that student. Don't get me started on that student right now. We're already running a little long. That'd be another half hour. All right.
That's
so just a kind
episode
of
in itself.
Just to kind of recap, limit the screen time. Make sure they are attending. Make sure they're there and punctual. And don't be too rigid on emphasizing the academics. And lastly, let them allow them to be the ones that are accountable for their actions. Jeff, anything before we wrap up?
No, we said we weren't going to get on our soapbox, but I felt like I did at times, and I apologize.
I think you did a great job tonight. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Please do us a favor and like, subscribe, find us on Facebook, find us on Instagram.
Joe, interrupt.
Yeah.
LMR. We learned that last week. LMR.
Yeah, like my recent.
Like my recent.
I brought up at the beginning of the show that the teacher spotlight. If you have a teacher or you know a teacher that deserves that spotlight, please reach out to us through one of those channels and let us know. We're going to try. We do one of those every month or two. We like to highlight a teacher. So please reach out to us with that. And next week, we're taking a week off. It is spring break. I'm headed down to Florida. Jeff's going to be in lovely South Lyon, Michigan, right, Jeff?
Yeah, my wife's school doesn't have spring break until after Easter, so just me and the kids for a week, and then she's got it by herself.
That's awesome. You'll get to spend so much quality time with those kids. I'm jealous.
It's going to be wonderful.
All right. Anyway, so we're taking a week off for spring break, and join us. We will be back in 2 weeks from today. And we're going to be talking about managing students with IEPs, with 504s, and English language learners. We're going to be talking about how to deal with those special needs students that require a little extra attention. So join us in 2 weeks for that. This is Joe and Jeff signing off, reminding you to keep going above and beyond those standards, because you may not make a lot of money, but you do make a difference.